Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shea Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Dennis Prout is an investment advisor representative with Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with a financial professional.
And welcome aboard to another episode of New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design in Traverse City. Joining us today in the studio live, certified financial planner, Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
It is great to be here. Thank you, Ron, on a very cold, wintry day. Great to be here on January 10th. If you do happen to be listening to the rebroadcast on Saturday, it is a rebroadcast.
We've got loyal listeners on Saturday mornings.
We do. They enjoy that.
Hello.
And also our podcast is on the website, X, the advertisements, and we're getting more and more listeners to that as we looked at the stats. It's interesting.
And on iTunes. So on our website and on iTunes. So if you miss a show, you can go there.
iTunes. Shea Pataja in.
Yes, our CXO, Chief Experience Officer.
That's it.
You bet. Great to have you, Shea, and she's going to be doing some Shea stats later.
We got good ones, too.
Today, we're going to be talking about the 15 steps to a prosperous new year. Actually, we're not going to discuss all 15.
And we can't promise you're going to be prosperous.
Yeah, of course.
But it is a new year.
But think it over.
But it is. The title of the article from Kiplinger is 15 Steps. We're going to cover about 11 of those if we get to them all today.
Let's hope.
Yes, we'll do our best. So the 15 ways. Number one, save more in tax-advantaged accounts, whether it's a Roth IRA, whether you're 75 years old, still have a job. Think about it. Well, I'm 75. I'm still working? You might be. And if that's the case, you have a tremendous number of options. If your workplace has a retirement plan, you can continue to make contributions to any retirement plan, no matter what age. So you're not limited by age as you are in an IRA. And if you are, let's say, 75 years old, you can still have a regular Roth IRA outside of work and fund it if you have earned income from work. So there are a tremendous number of options to take advantage of, and especially relating to the tax. Well, I have to take my required minimum distributions from my two IRAs over here. Could I trade that tax? I think we had that question a couple, 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Could I trade the tax that I'm paying on those distributions and just put it back in my retirement account through work? In essence, you could if you increase your contributions, whether or not you're self-employed. That's one way to do it. Or if you're employed, traditional way, you get a W-2 from work. You can use that income to offset other incomes that you don't necessarily want to have to pay the tax on. So lots of ways.
We have a question in the back of the room.
Question here.
I have a question.
Yes.
Does this make sense? If you want to begin adding more every week to your retirement account and through your employer, you have a 401k. Not a Roth option, just a 401k.
Sure.
So you put the money in so it's not taxed. It goes right in, right?
Well, if you take advantage of the regular 401k,
it's not
deductible option up front, yes.
So you do that. Or suppose you take the money that's already been taxed, your net part of your net paycheck, and you go put it in a separate Roth IRA. Does that make – which one makes more sense?
Depends on the situation.
I knew he'd say that.
It really depends. Now, here's what I like about the Roth option within your 401k. It's automatic. If you have that option within your 401k plan, it's going in there every month. So I tend to like that option with the Roth because you can't write off losses in a Roth account. Well, what does that mean? You can't write off losses in a regular IRA account either. No, but because the Roth grows tax-free and you'll never pay any tax, the pain is greater for having taken a loss in the Roth account. So necessarily you want to be more conservative. One way to be more conservative with the Roth is to add money monthly.
But what if you don't have that option? The through your employer?
Through work, through your employer. Your 401k, Let's say your 401k does not offer the Roth option. First off, I'd simply ask the HR department if they could get the administrator to add that option. It's about $250 for your employer to add that to your 401k. Hmm. Number two, consider adding money monthly to a Roth. That's a way to get around the greater risk that you might have.
So out of your net earnings, take the money and put it in a
sure.
separate Roth.
Well,
okay.
Yeah, take it directly from your checking account. That's one way to do that, is to have it deducted from your checking and go direct into the Roth IRA.
So if you don't have a Roth option in your 401k, but check it out first, like you said, but if you still don't have that option, so you take your net paycheck, everything's already been taxed, and you take part of that and start putting it in your Roth IRA, mm-hmm. that's going to be generally a better decision than just having more put into your 401k.
Well,
one's tax-free for retirement.
It's generally better when you're thinking about diversification for tax strategy, because one is deductible. The regular regular 401k contribution is going to be deductible. You're not paying tax on that money going in. So you're going to save about 20% federal tax. Mm-hmm. When you're putting it into the Roth, it's not deductible going in. You're paying tax on that, but it comes out tax-free later down the road. 5-10 years, whatever that might be. So it's a great diversification strategy, given the relatively low tax rates we're at now, to have some money going into the Roth. Now, we're just reviewing this at our own office. All right, given the 401k.
Mm-hmm.
I just upped the amount that's going personally into my 401k, as well as to the amount that's going, because the limits increased for what I can place in. So I increased that amount, and then I also placed a greater percentage into the Roth option within the 401k. So instead of 80-20, I went to 70-30. 30% of my contributions going into the Roth, 70% going into the regular deductible.
Okay.
It's not a science.
It's not a science.
But it is a great way to diversify, given tax strategy. More options. It's something I always revert to in my own mind. The King Solomon strategy. There is no one investment that's going to solve all the issues. And when you go down one direction to solve all the different ways an economy might grow by trying to solve it with one investment, you're almost always going to be disappointed. Everybody knows that intuitively. Sometimes it just simply takes a review with a financial advisor. Do you realize you've gone down the hole? Most of your retirement account is invested in XYZ stock. Now, that stock is great as long as you ride it, but the problems can be significant. Great example here recently, Jeff Bezos and Amazon. Well, he's getting a divorce.
Uh-oh.
Now, he did not consult
formerly the richest man in America.
Formerly. Yeah. I don't know that he considered the cost. You know, all that story is going to come out now. And he probably didn't listen to our radio show alimony, that sort of thing. But given the changes that may occur in Amazon, well, what changes might those be? I don't know. But it just points up the risk of having all your eggs in one basket. We don't know what might happen.
Farmers always nail it, don't they? That little wisdom. Don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah, the farmers do have a great way with that. And another quote from a farmer, actually back from All Creatures Great and Small, written by James Herriot. He, the wealthiest farmer in the area, in the district at that point, was a gentleman who said, you know, when I see everybody going one way, I just go to other, is what he said. And there is some truth in that for any and all of us. A great, for instance, and then we'll take our break, is the fact that most foreign equities, international stocks, if you will, that many people can invest in their 401k, are trading at a discount right now. Their performance last year was more disappointing than the United States. Well, why would I invest in that? Because those companies are trading at a much greater discounted rate than those in the United States. Well, are you telling me to invest that way? No, it's just a general advisory to those who are continuing to invest. Consider the positives of diversification. And one way may be to invest on an international basis and or increase that percentage that's going into international funds within your accounts. Number two.
Number two.
15 steps to prosperous New Year.
File your taxes earlier. File your taxes earlier, even though there's no one there to receive them right now. Gather your tax documents to file your 2018 return ASAP to possibly protect yourself from tax ID thieves. I thought that was an interesting strategy. May make a difference for those of you who are trying to avoid the tax ID thieves. And then also, keep in mind when it's safe to shred your records. Generally considered 3 years, but for some records, it's 7. Number three, get a triple tax break from health savings accounts. Triple.
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 What
because it's deductible going in. It grows tax deferred as it, assuming it grows. Three, it's tax free on the way out.
Hello.
There's no other retirement account like it.
You Somebody in
Roth.
Congress make a mistake there or what?
Well, they realize the cost of health care. And it's virtually available for any health-related costs you can have. And what a great way to save, potentially, for retirement health care costs as well. So there are certain limits you want to be aware of. There is a one-time rollover from an IRA, too. If you need those that information, happy to discuss that with any of those who might want to offline.
Can you you can't open your own HSA, can you?
It has to be through your employer. An employer-sponsored highly deductible or high deductible plan. You can contribute up to $3,500 to an HSA if you have single coverage or up to $7,000 for family coverage in 2019, plus an extra $1,000 if you're 55 or older. To be HSA eligible, a policy must have a deductible of at least $1,350 for single coverage and $2,700 for family coverage. So there are some limitations in order to participate in that kind of plan.
Also, to answer your question, Ron, when we were talking about the stats, the Shea stats for medical costs, I bet the other, you know,
37%.
Would be like your premiums every month that people are paying have gotten so high. And then I know a lot of my friends do alternative care, so they see. They go to do acupuncture. They do supplements. I mean, they're paying a lot of things that don't run through the
medical. Aren't doctors, hospitals, or drugs.
Yep, and they're spending a lot there, just to guess.
All right. Number four, wellness programs at work. Talk about trying to circumvent health issues. Part of it may be your employer may help you take care of yourself, whether it's a workout program.
Hagerty's big on that, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah, they're big on that. Mm-hmm. Our company provides us with free donuts.
We provide free chocolate.
No, we want to thank Peace, Love, and Little Donuts. They provide us with the donuts.
That's awesome.
Yeah. No, but yeah, Hagerty's big on they have their own gym over there in the building in Traverse City.
That's crazy. I wonder if they would notice if I just go work out. I mean, that would never happen, but in the rare chance it does.
Yeah, I work here.
Yeah, I work here.
So you may have access to health assessments, screenings, exercise. I can't believe it personally on a number of supplements that I take. Mm. So just to try to stay healthy, a big deal. Think about it. I think a lot of people are thinking about that in terms of an exercise program. What's the best way to start? Start slowly. Something you have a good likelihood of continuing.
Pay now or pay later.
Huge for in terms of energy, thinking, capability, all the rest.
Does shoveling the driveway count?
You bet it does, especially here recently. Check your credit record. Hadn't even considered this until looking through this article. Boy, what a tremendous amount of sense. You can get your annual credit report, your credit report, free from annualcreditreport.com. And you can see any suspicious activity on there. It's www.annualcreditreport.com. Generally, it's recommended that you get a copy of your credit reports once every year. Review those. Any suspicious activity, sometimes you can take care of. And or
LifeLock.
If there's inaccurate information, that's the biggest part of it. Some company said that you didn't pay off something or you were late and you weren't late, that sort of thing. Many times you can get corrected and then improve your own credit score and pay less in some cases for loans, even insurance policies. Those kind of go hand in hand in terms of where are you going to be as to premium, that sort of thing. The actual cost for those coverages can make a difference. Now, you may also decide you want to freeze your credit record.
Yes.
Now, you have personal experience with that, Ron.
What was the last big breach? It was Equifax.
Really big.
Yeah. Yeah.
2 years ago, Equifax breached, and we froze our credit reports, we froze our credit, which means if somebody wanted to steal our identity and go apply for a loan, and in order to get a loan, the lender has to go through and check your credit. They wouldn't be able to get into our credit. They would not get an approval because it's frozen.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, if we want to go get a loan, refinance or do something like that, we have to pay $10 to unfreeze the record for that purpose. But because we're not in the market for money right now, we figured that would be a safe thing to do.
Sure. Hmm. Now, they just changed that, that there is now no cost for freezing and or unfreezing your credit record. That changed us in the fall of 18.
Great.
So that has changed. It's kind of nice.
Yeah.
So you can freeze and unfreeze it.
Huh.
Just there concerned you go. About that.
Just like leftover meatloaf. Just.
I guess it doesn't really make any difference there, does it? I understand that, too.
I mean, that's where my head
went. It's kind of like your feet as you walk outside, freeze and unfreeze.
Yes, there you go.
I'm whining.
Oh, my gosh. I totally biffed it on Front Street.
Came around the corner here, the WTCM building, and that wind hits you like just a slap in the face.
From the bay, just a block away.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Ah. Ooh.
It lets you know you're alive.
Yes. Given the alternative, I think I'll take it. Number 7, review your beneficiary designations. What travels by beneficiary? IRAs?
Everything.
Annuities? Roth IRAs? 403B accounts? Your 401Ks travel by beneficiary? Well,
insurance.
You know, I've got my wife. Here's a good example, named as primary beneficiary. What if something happens to you both? I'm sure the children, well, no. In our case, I'm just thinking of all the various conversations I've had with clients over the years. In our case, our son is going to take care of all that detail. Okay? So you've named him as contingent beneficiary 100% on this account. Yeah. Well, he'll make sure the other two children are taken care of. All right. Do you realize the tax implications he's going to have to expose himself to get that money to those children? Oh, what do you mean? He would... If that's the only asset, and they may be able to balance it up with other assets, but if they're not able to, he has to take a full taxable distribution from that account, pay the tax on it, and then give them the net after having paid the tax. Who's going to be happy about that? I don't see any hands in the audience.
Nobody.
See where that goes. Now, if instead this particular couple, let's say, had named all three children equally, if something happens to them both, then all three children then get that benefit from the account and are able, if they've done it properly, transferring that to their own properly named beneficiary IRA. Non-taxable, no transaction cost. It's done. They have that access to the IRA. No penalties. It's taxable, but it's avoided all the tax and cost. You see what a huge difference that makes in one fell swoop. So huge difference in naming those beneficiaries. And Shay, you stole the thunder on that one because literally every account travels by beneficiary. Well, we don't have a beneficiary on our checking account. Who is the beneficiary? Well, Jean, my wife, or, you know, whatever. Okay, she's named on the account, yes. It's a joint account. Yeah. What happens when both of you pass away? It'll go through the probate process. We're fine with that. It'll be probated. We're good. there. Because we've named, you know, who's going to be doing that. Are you sure you want it to go through probate? Yeah, they'll have to file the probate with the attorney and pay some extra costs, but we're good there. That's not a problem. Okay. At least you know. But let's say it's a joint account between you and a son. You see where that goes. All of a sudden, let's say it's a mutual fund that you've owned for 30 years. It went from $10,000 to $25,000 over that 30-year period. That cost differential, again, if this is one son out of three children, he's then got to gift that, in essence, to the other children, and he only gets a step up in cost basis on half the mutual fund.
But what if you only have one responsible child in the family?
Speaking of yourself, is that what we're saying? Okay.
No.
Sorry. But if you only have one responsible child, there may be other things you want to do to avoid that. Perhaps it's a transfer on death account. Perhaps you really want a trust if that's the case. You've got two other children, perhaps, but their spouses are who?
You don't trust.
You don't trust.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, there are all reasons to consider, but one reason to have a trust is when you don't trust. So that's a great, any of these are great conversations to have with an attorney as well as your financial advisor.
Do you think people put this off because they don't want to pay for the attorney or they don't, what is it? Why do they put it off?
Because they don't want to have these conversations. It's about death and money.
Mm. Yeah.
The two most difficult conversations, mm-hmm. the two most pieces of a difficult conversation to have, if you will.
Yeah.
Not fun.
I think your industry or Prout Financial should mm-hmm. go after that national holiday.
National
check your smoke detector day. Yeah. Get your beneficiaries in order day.
Mm-hmm. It's not a bad idea, Ron.
Make an
I like
appointment.
It.
Make an appointment with your CFP. Do it now.
We are constantly reviewing beneficiary designations with our clients. It is a constant thing because, you know, things change. Mm-hmm. Spouses pass away. All right. Then we've named our children as contingents. Do they automatically then move up to primary? Not necessarily.
Yeah.
So in that case, one spouse has passed away. The three children are named as contingents. We want to move them up to primary and then name other contingents in case something should happen to that child, which none of us want to go in terms of thinking about. That it just makes certain that it puts the wrapper on that particular package so it's not an issue. And you can go on living your life. And it's amazing how simple that is to get it done. So the beneficiaries save tax, heartache, time, just a tremendous number of issues. And the issues with perhaps the one child who needs to be more reasonable or measured than they already are can be overseen perhaps through a trust. That may be one reason to do that. Number eight is abandon property.
Wait, you need to abandon property or?
If you've not been responding to a company that holds your individual stock, for instance, generally you've got 5 years or so to do that. If you don't, it could be theoretically and in real terms abandoned to the state of Michigan because you haven't contacted them. They can escheat, it's called, escheat that property to the state of Michigan.
Mm.
And if that happens to your IRA, it's a taxable event.
Mm.
It could well be. And you may wind up having to pay the tax on that transaction when you didn't even know you had one, perhaps. So allowing that property to escheat to the state,
escheat,
not a good deal. And we actually have an article on that. It's titled, Dude, Where's My IRA?
Is it really?
Yep.
Is that from Ed Slott?
It's from Ed Slott, posted March of 16. For someone who's concerned about that, there are actually some great points on this. Happy to give that to those who may want to receive that. 231-947-3992. Great article on escheatment and why it makes sense to avoid it and the rules and regulations regarding that. Number nine, having an emergency fund, 3 to 6 months. If you've got nothing there, start with 1 month. Take baby steps, as some say, to get to that 1 month and then work to 3 to 6. Now, for some, 12 months may make the most sense. I like about a year's spending money, for instance, someone might say, to have as an emergency fund. I'm just comfortable with that amount. Even though interest rates are relatively low, may make sense for some to have a higher savings account balance, if you will.
It would be good for federal workers to have that.
Yes.
Because they will get paid. It's just they don't know when, but they will be paid.
Given this Friday may be the first day of no paycheck for those federal workers. Number 10, charitable giving plans. Given the call from Wilma, review your charitable giving plans for 2019. Whether it's bunching your giving together so that you can overcome the amount of the standard deduction for single individuals, it's $12,000. For married, it's $24,000. Or the QCD, which we discussed with her. Or consider possibly donor advice funds or charitable trust for appreciated property that you want a significant deduction for. You can, in some cases, draw an income from that charitable trust and still get the benefit of having gifted that property to that entity at the end of your life expectancy. For some types of charitable accounts, a tremendous way to plan and get a significant tax deduction now, and especially if you have other transactions that may be occurring. Well, we're selling a business. Could we give a part of that to charity? You may decide you want to do that to get a better deduction for having sold that property and taking capital gain. Well, aren't capital gains taxes at their lowest rate they've ever been? Yes, but capital gain rates are still included back into your regular income to look at your, see your overall tax. So the real tax on a capital gain may still be in the 20 to 25% range. Given that's the case, think about your overall tax situation.
Always comes back to taxes.
It does. It is the biggest expense and the biggest benefit you can have. It's not about saving necessarily a half a percent per year in the management fees in the account. It's about saving the tax that would have otherwise been imposed and how to avoid that. Because the tax can be, again, if it's 10 to 20% in a given year, you're way ahead with that versus saving much smaller amounts in management fees on accounts, as a for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Number 11, assess your progress. How am I doing? If you had a quiz to take, could you say what your 1231 balances are on your various accounts? Could you say that the beneficiaries are sent? Could you say that you reviewed the allocations of those same accounts? Those are, you know, some of the first things I think of.
When you say allocations, what do you mean exactly?
Allocations. In my 401k, for instance, or IRA, what's in fixed assets? If there's a guaranteed account within there.
As far as it, what's all the way bonds? Down to individual stocks, or just knowing what mutual funds?
What mutual funds, the categories, how much is in bonds, what's in U.S. stocks, what's in international, all that sort of thing, the allocations of those assets within. Critical going forward, and especially in anticipation of events in the future where you want to draw income from these self-same accounts. That's always the big deal.
And if you're a client, call and meet with us. You can, we can help you with that. Heidi can sit with you. Dennis can sit with you. I mean, that's what being a client at Proud is about, is we can help people with these decisions. There's many times, you know, we've heard stories where a client said, I just checked the box. You gave me two options. I just checked that one box. Well, that quick decision has consequences.
Question yesterday from a potential client. They said, well, so are you going to review my 401k plan balance if we come in and we decide to become clients? Oh, yeah, you bet, because that's part of the whole picture for you. So it's the contribution amounts that you're putting in. It's where that's allocated when it's going in, and it's where the lump sums are allocated as well. It's where the real differences can be seen. So it, unfortunately, it's serious. Fortunately, if you take it seriously, cover those issues, it's amazing what you can, the difference you can make over time. I've seen it again and again and again. For those who plan for that future, we can't anticipate the rocks that might happen on the beach, if you will, as we're taking the walk. But even though we can't anticipate that, we can better learn how to go around those situations because we've had some thought beforehand to think through what that might mean. That's the good stuff.
You got through all 11 today.
Yeah. We're doing pretty good considering.
I'm impressed.
Mm-hmm. What's 12?
Do we 12 have time is for 12? Estate planning. We actually have 12.
We can do
the estate planning portion. We briefly discussed that. But if you were to do one thing this year, I would recommend, if you haven't done it, to review your estate planning and or get with an attorney as well as your financial advisor to make certain this is going to work as best you can plan given your situation. There is no estate tax for most people settling an estate, but there can be a lot of other taxes imposed because perhaps your children don't even know how to receive these funds. A beneficiary meeting may be one of the best things you can do for 2019 as a part of the estate planning. How do we get this? How does that work, Mom and Dad? Those are the kinds of conversations we have when children come in with their parents. Sometimes showing them the balances on the accounts, other times not. At least getting them familiar with us so they knew who to call given the worst happens. Mm-hmm. It's one of the many reasons to do something like that.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.